Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We have a call from Maria from LA, Los Angeles, California. Maria, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. I find myself every once in a while wanting to say better than I deserve. My mentor says that all the time, Dave Ramsey, on his, and that's really how I feel. I feel like I am better than I deserve. And isn't that true? If we've got the right perspective, that's the way we feel, right? We're better than we deserve. How can I help you today?
Well, I have a question. I'm currently investing a total of 30% in my retirement plan, which is the 457 and 403B. And I really want to, and I'm really want to pay off my house sooner than, you know, the 30-year term. And I'm adding $620 a month on my mortgage for the principal. I don't have any credit card bills unless it's like daily expenses. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if people were saying just to put 15% on my 403B, I'm kind of curious of like how is that going to work out when I get, you know, when they take out taxes from me and also at the end of the year when I file my taxes.
Okay, so you got a kind of a multi-level question here. You got a lot of things going on. First of all, congratulations on just being such a forward thinker. You're doing great thinking about the future, and in a world where it's the here and now, what feels good, you know, do it and spend all your money here and now, and you're not doing that. So that's very, very good. Can I ask a few questions to start us off?
Sure.
How seasoned are you? Meaning, how old are you?
I'm old.
No, you're more mature.
Yes. Yes. I'm in my 40s.
Oh, 40s. That tells me what I needed to hear. And how much savings do you have? Liquid, accessible cash. I mean, you can go get it today.
Right now, $16,000.
And your income?
Last year, it was $130,000.
Okay. All right. And did you say you had credit cards?
I mean, I pay it off every month. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that gives me an idea of what we're looking at here. Okay. First and foremost, the first thing I would do, and this is not what you asked, is I would beef up your liquid cash that you have available. I would beef that up to $30,000.
Okay.
$30,000 would be the minimum. I would go anywhere between 30 and 60 is fine. But you want to make sure you have that for a rainy day. Something happens like your roof caves in or, you know, your air conditioning goes down or someone in the family, you know, goes down with something that's not covered by insurance. Anything happens that you've got that available and it's going to drive you crazy that it's not gaining a whole lot of interest because it's sitting there in a money market account. Don't worry about it. Think of it as insurance. That's insurance. That's so it's sleep good at night. And, you know, that's what that money is for. It's not necessarily for investing. So have that available. Do that first and foremost. Okay. So if you need to back down some of your retirement to do that, I would strongly encourage you to get that to that 30,000 mark and just let it sit there. So that's what I would do first. Then I would take your investing down to 15% only. So not the 30%, but 15% only. Now, if you are doing a little bit of catch up on your retirement because you didn't start real early, yeah, I can see the pull there, but trust me and stick with the 15. And then anything above that, I would just be hammering that mortgage, hammering it, like paying it down as soon as possible. Now, you'd asked a question about your tax bracket and stuff. None of this has anything to do with that. Tax is based on income, not outgo. So whether you're putting it towards retirement, now, of course, in your retirement, you want to make sure you're doing tax deferred things, you know, like a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. or a growth stock mutual fund, just something that is going to be more advantageous for, of course, you're doing that with your 403B and your 457. But as far as income tax, it's going to be off of your income. So that's not going to affect anything either way, whether you have a paid off house or you don't. So that's the way I would do that. And you're calling in from California, and you know, based on what I see tax rates wise, you're fine. It looks like you're right around 9.3 on state tax, which is, you know, you're not even close to the next tax bracket at 130K a year. So I wouldn't worry about your tax bracket changing with your income anytime soon. And then when it comes to your federal tax, you're nowhere near the next bracket either. You're at that 28%. So you're fine. Yeah. So that's what I would do. I'd beef up your emergency fund, which is the insurance. And then I would do 15% only towards an IRA or a growth stock mutual fund for long term, not a short term, not 5 year, not 10 year. This is something that all the way to retirement. And then I would hammer that house until you have no house payment. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Brene writes in. She says, Chris, my sister is upside down on her vehicle by nearly $5,000. She's unable to work due to medical reasons and has no income currently. She's anticipating possible Social Security to kick in within the next few months, but has no firm date. She's already two payments behind on her car. The value of the car is $17,000. But she owes $22,000. I suggested to her to go to the nearest car dealership and see what she can get for it and then find a way to make up the difference, but she's not okay with that idea. Does she have any other options? Thank you so much for your help. I would see if she can do some work from the home. I'm not sure the reason why, her medical reasons. I'm not sure what that could, be a wide variety of different things, but what can she do from home? Using the computer or using the phone, doing some kind of transcribing or doing something over email. You know, we live in a great world today where we can use technology. So I would have her, don't just give up on working. Just be, don't live inside this small box of work has to look a certain way. She needs to get creative on what she can do from home. And she needs to earn about $8,000 and $8,000 over her four walls, her four-wall expenses, which would mean her baseline shelter, food, clothing, and transportation, the baseline. I'm talking about the bare minimum. She needs to earn $8,000 over that, and she needs to pay off that $5,000. The difference on the car, and then she needs an additional $3,000 so she can get rid of that car and buy a $3,000 car. That's just the bottom line of safety that she needs for her current financial situation. Our next caller is Steve, calling in from Orlando, Florida. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. How can I help you?
Question of whether now is a good time to sell our house.
All right. Let me hear a little bit more about it.
We bought our house back in 2011. For round numbers, let's say we paid $165,000 for it.
Okay.
Now, fortunately, the houses in the neighborhood are selling for, say, $265,000.
Okay.
Our debt on it is about $165,000.
Okay.
I'm 53, started my own business back in 2008. Only have about $200,000 in IRA. I think my wife is yearning for a little more security and looks at this as a way to, and the goal would be to sell the house for, say, $265,000, go buy another one in a less desirable neighborhood. And that's one of the things with a guy that I'm struggling with is where we live is nice, gated community. Everybody keeps up the houses, the neighborhood we're looking at. You know, it may be a truck in the yard, a couple of houses down, but still in a very close to a Winter Park, which is a nice community here in Orlando. And the goal would be to get rid of, say, $90,000 worth of debt after some closing costs coming and going. And so I'm struggling with my pride of a nice house, and does it make any sense that maybe the neighborhood that we're in, this $265,000 will continue to appreciate? Versus going to someplace else, and I don't think the new neighborhood will go down, but it may not appreciate as much. And as far as our finances, our mortgage payment's only like $1,000 a month, and I make six figures, so it's 10% or less of our income. So the payment itself isn't a struggle. It's just trying to find a way to get rid of another $90,000 worth of debt.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have a 30-year mortgage?
Currently, correct. And we looked at it, and if we move a new one, we could get a 15-year for the same $1,000 a month.
Okay, and yeah, how old are you again? You told me 53?
I'm 53, and we have 26 years left on our current mortgage.
There's a couple of trump cards you threw out. One is my wife would feel more secure. That's mm-hmm. a big one.
It's huge. I'm learning that. The older I get, I'm finally learning that's an important thing to look for.
Wise man. I would move. And I don't know what you mean by less appreciation, all that stuff. Those variables, I would do it. And here's why. I think the quickest way you can get out of debt, non-secured debt, secure debt, blah, 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 whatever. It's debt. And I think that's when the time you're going to be the most secure. I think that also gets you to your goals quicker. Let's say it maybe is a lake house, or let's just say that it's to have $2 million saved up for retirement, or all those other things that are important that are security for both of you, not just her. It gets you there faster. If the appreciation, the likelihood of your 265 going to 365 or going to 320, you've got to weigh that out on whether you think it's going to skyrocket from here. Just for my little bit of time here on earth, I'm witnessing these 7 to 10 year real estate cycles. And, I would think, in Orlando, you're not having these huge swings like you would in LA or Hollywood, or even in Miami. Your swings are a little bit less crazy. So getting $100,000 off of a home is about batting 1,000 for Orlando. It's pretty darn good. The chances of it going to 365, I don't know. Based on what I know of the middle of Florida, I don't see it doing that unless you're like right next to Disney, maybe, which can work against you being right next to Disney. For me, I would move. And then when you get the 15 year, I would even make double, triple payments on it because of how much money you're making versus how many bills you have. So, and then I would you're almost doubling the security of you and your wife. You're sleeping well at night. You're in a good spot. I would be moving personally. Because here's the deal. If I were to ask you the question, would you spend $100,000 for that truck not to be parked on the street that's bothering you so bad? The difference between the two neighborhoods. You would never tell me, Chris, this is such a big deal, these trucks being parked on the street and not having a gate to get in my community, that I would pay $100,000 for that. You wouldn't do that. So that's what I would do. I'd move, my friend.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Right.
That's another peace of mind. We're always looking for reassurance. So I appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thank you.
Let's look at our emails now. This one is from Kat. My husband and I are trying to figure out how best to pay off my student loans. I have one around $5,000 and three around $17,000 each. Yuck. Right now, we are paying the lowest possible on each one. Should we try to knock out the lowest one? Consolidate? We're doing the best we can. Unfortunately, the three largest ones gain interest every day. That's what happens, folks. Any advice at all that you can offer us would be so helpful. Thank you for taking the time to read this, and we love the new show. Well, thank you, Kat. The answer is yes. Pay off the smallest one first and go from there. More than the minimum payments, though. I mean, the average person in America has 6 years in payments that are pending. They're weighing on their shoulders. And you will fall in that stat if you just pay off the minimum payments. Probably a little bit more than that. With that dollar amount, you're looking at close to 16 years. So those that go through Financial Peace University, what we talk about so often on this show, actually pay off their debt on average of 18 to 24 months. The difference is they get mad at it. They don't just tolerate it. They don't embrace it. They get mad at it. Think about like a boxer. You ever get mad when you watch boxers and they're just kind of like jabbing at each other and kind of just dancing, throwing a punch every once in a while? And you're like, just get after it. That's what you want to do to your debt. That's the big difference. You got to get that intense. The Bible says, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 5. You just got to get mad at it. Consolidating, that's dancing in the ring. No. We don't want debt consolidation. We want debt elimination. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
We have another call. This is Andrew calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I am doing marvelously. How can I help you?
My wife and I are not quite seeing eye to eye on this one yet and kind of need some clarification.
So. Okay. Usually that has something to do with a kitchen remodel or a car or something.
And this time it's a car.
Oh.
I've got a 65 Mustang, and it was my first car, and I love it. I don't really want to get rid of it.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, it's a material thing that, you know, we can get back when we don't have debt.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you guys at in your stewardship journey? Where are you at?
We're going through the baby steps right now, and we're trying to work down through our debt snowball.
Okay.
So I've got $36,000 in student loans, and then our mortgage, and that's all we're left with. We've gotten rid of everything else, though.
So. Okay.
But the hardest part, my wife and I are both right now looking at possible career changes.
Okay.
And so in that thought, I was looking at, well, I have this Mustang that in its current condition is worth anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000.
That was my next question.
So, you know, that would be a really big chunk of that gone.
Mm.
But at the same time, my wife doesn't, she knows what the car means to me. It was my first car.
Yeah.
You know, bought and paid cash for it. And, you know, as we have for all of our cars, so it's a tough decision.
Yeah, it is. Let me ask you some questions. And these are good questions for our listeners to ask themselves, because, you know, we've all been in this spot before. It might not have been a 65 Mustang, but it might have been a Harley, or it might have been a really nice grill, or it might have been, it could be a lot of things. And this is for the male and the female. This, we've all been here before. 20 years from now, Andrew, what's going to matter?
My family being together and happy and, you know, being right with God. So that's kind of where I'm headed with this.
Yeah. How much do you think you're going to care about the Mustang 20 years from now?
That's tough to say.
Yeah. I love that you're taking time to answer and, you're really thinking about it. Because it's going to mean something to you. It already does mean something to you. So to just say that's not going to matter, would not be wise. I mean, it's going to matter. Why? Let me ask you this. Why do you like it? Why do you like it so much?
I mean, I grew up with a family. There's actually three Mustangs between me and my three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a family thing, something that we do together. We've restored one of them already. I've talked to my wife and kind of worked that through with her because she's actually been the one to try and help me to want to keep it. Cause she knows what we've done to... you know, the work that's gone into it. I mean, we rebuilt the engine and stuff together, me and her did. So, you know, there's a lot of that stuff that we've been able to do. And so she knows kind of the sentimental value that there is along with it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what let me encourage you with this, Andrew. We've got to, when we have nice things like this, we've got to be able to separate the thing from the emotion it creates. And for me, what I'm asking you, what you like about it, what I'm hearing is what you like is it makes you, it kind of almost feels, you feel united with your family. It kind of unites you. And you got to think through what the emotion is, the uniting. It's the closeness with your family. What you really care about is your family.
Right.
And is there another way where you guys can connect? And I'm sure that your relationship is deeper than metal. And so you've got to really think through, is it the metal that's uniting us together? Is it really the memory, or is it how close we really are? And could you do that for free? Now, listen here. This is good for all of us to hear. It is okay to have nice things. It's fine to have nice things. Don't feel guilty about having something nice, because that is very nice, and I'm intrigued by it myself. If you ever do sell it, call me. But you just got to ask yourself the questions, why do I want it? Is it to impress people that I don't really care about? In your scenario, it's family. It's kind of it means something to you. It's a little bit deeper than maybe we would have anticipated. But selling it might not be the only way. There's more than one way to skin a cat. So you might be going out and get two or three jobs and do it another way. Now, obviously, it makes it easier, but you got to answer the question, how important is it to you? Now, of course, my initial answer, because I don't have any kind of tie to it emotionally, is to sell a thing. Get it out of here. Right. 25K out of your 36 is taken care of immediately. It just makes financial sense.
Right.
But if you want to go out and just kill it for 2 years and you're going to end up paying a little bit more interest on those loans, that's up to you. I mean, that's a lot of extra work. That's a lot of pain. You have to weigh on how valuable that thing is. So let me throw a couple of verses your way, okay? So the first one I want to throw your way is found in Matthew, and it's powerful. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And so I just want to encourage us all, we can have nice things, but our heart can't be in them. It can't be, that's where our heart lies, okay? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So just make sure that you have those nice things where they need to be. They're not a god, they're not an idol, but they're just nice things, and that's all they are, okay? And then measure that up against this, 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So you got to take both of those truths and kind of weigh them out and wrestle together, and that's part of the wrestle. That's completely fine, you guys, because it's not just providing for your family now; it's providing for them in 5 years, it's providing for them in 10, it's providing for them in the next generation. And if that car is holding you back from being a good provider for your relatives and for your own household, well, then it's a problem. If it's not, and you can pay off this debt quick and get after it, then it's fine. My quick answer is sell it. But if you want to work your tail off, then you can do that too. But I would sell it.
I appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you.
Got an email here from Andrea in Corpus Christi. I am a Christian woman and the major breadwinner in our marriage. I have recently been tithing on my income, but not telling my husband about it. He doesn't understand why tithing is necessary for me. Is this wrong to hide this from him? I do our budget based on after tithe amount. Yes. It is wrong to hide that from him. Both of you need to be part of the budgeting process. And maybe he just doesn't understand. Maybe you need to explain the spirituality behind the tithe. It's not just a legalistic ritual, but why do you do that? How does that strengthen your relationship with Christ? You know, oftentimes when somebody tells you, this is what this means to my relationship with Christ, it is very, very difficult to argue with somebody about that. You know, if somebody comes to me from a different faith, and they say, you know what, at 10 o'clock every day, I really just need to go outside and I just need to connect with God for 5 minutes. It's just something that we've always done. Just very difficult for me to say, you know what, not anymore. You're not doing that anymore. You just can't do it. He dropped the trump card. He's meeting with God. How in the world do you argue with that? So maybe explain the spirituality behind it, Andrea, and that probably will work. But quit hiding stuff from him. You guys are supposed to be a unit. You're supposed to be one flesh, the Bible says. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service, but in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, 2, check out stewardship.com, and 3, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings, His way, and for His glory. God bless you.